Hello and welcome to the Eat PhD Team podcast, the podcast here to help you with your relationship with food and body by giving you evidence-based techniques to support yourself with a sprinkling of feminism, a dash of dismantling diet culture and a side of vulnerability as we share our own messy lives with you. I'm Emilia, a registered nutritionist and PhD with the sole purpose of making your life happier and healthier. If you love it, please do go wild and share it. And if you're ready for support with our coaching, details are in the show notes. Hello and welcome to the Eat PhD Team podcast, episode number 115, with myself, just myself. Because I get asked this question probably every week. The coaches get asked this question probably every week. And we have discussed it numerous times on the podcast. But I think it deserves its own entire episode. And the question is this: how do I deal with weight gain when I'm improving my relationship with food? Now, first of all, I think it's super important to say that weight gain is not inherently bad. Weight gain for some people might actually be a very good thing. And even if you are in a larger body and you are carrying more body fat than you think is ideal for your health, weight gain that may come with improving your relationship with food might actually still put you in a healthier place than slightly less body fat levels with a poor relationship with food. So it's really important to take a step out of your body composition just for a second and think about health as a holistic thing. When we talk about health, body fat levels is one part of the overall healthful picture. But if dropping body fat levels requires you to go on to a diet that leads you to overeat, that leads you to chronically restrict and miss out on certain nutrients, that leads you to poor body image, that leads you to, you know, a binge restrict cycle that stops you from socializing, that's unhealthier than a couple of kilograms of body fat gain and a better body image where you are more likely to look after yourself, more likely to want to go to the gym, more likely to want to exercise, and more likely to want to actually nourish yourself. So weight gain is not inherently bad. And if you are not in a larger body and you are in what we would class as a healthy BMI, then ask yourself why weight gain is inherently bad now. Because that's much more likely to be a reflection of your internalized weight bias and weight stigma, as opposed to any kind of objective reason. And I'm not saying that that's not real, and I'm not saying that it's irrelevant, and I'm not saying that it's wrong, but ask yourself why you would rather maintain a slightly leaner physique with a negative impact on your relationship with food and body, i.e. your health, as opposed to potentially a slightly bigger physique, still a healthy physique, but with a poorer relationship with food in your body. That's a question to certainly ask yourself. Secondly, what's really important to recognise is that, yes, weight gain might happen when you heal your relationship with food, but do you know what else? Weight loss sometimes happens. Weight maintenance sometimes happens. And I think it's quite self-destructive to go into any process and have an assumption about what the outcome is going to be, because all we can do is control ourselves and control our habits and our behaviours and our reflections and our self-awareness and work on those. We can't directly change the outcome. We can only change the process. And so it's not very helpful to go into something saying, well, this is going to have this specific result. And if you go into something saying this is going to lead to weight gain, your actions are probably going to align with that, because we like nothing more than to be right. We often have certain behaviours that are built around a kind of set of core beliefs or a set of core fears. And we do anything we can to protect those beliefs. Now, gaining weight when you improve your relationship with food is not a core belief, but it's certainly an unhelpful narrative to go into that process with. Some people do gain weight when they heal their relationship with food, but some people lose weight, and some people have weight maintenance, and some people do all of the above. So again, take a step back and say, I don't know what this process involves, but what this process does involve is letting go of having that extreme control over our bodies and constantly trying to find willpower all the time to change our bodies or change our nutrition when that's not working. One really important thing to remember is that you wouldn't be working on your relationship with food if your diet worked in the first place. You wouldn't. Now, I am not anti-diet, and so when I talk about this stuff, I recognise that actually, dieting might not be right for you right now, but dieting might be good for you later down the line. I'm certainly not here to say right now that dieting is not the right thing for you, and I think that's the difference between an anti-diet practitioner who works on supporting your relationship with food. Their end point is just their end point. For me, for some of my clients, they may well enter a fat loss phase. And a lot of my clients, I said this on an earlier podcast, but a lot of my clients will do a kind of phase of working on their relationship with food first and then potentially enter a fat loss phase. But ultimately, if you wanted fat loss more than anything else, then this is probably where you have to be first if you've got work to do on your relationship with food. As Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Wise man, that Einstein. So we can't just do what we did before. So you kind of have to go into this thinking, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I know that I'm going to do all the processes that support my relationship with food and manage whatever outcome that is, because this is what I have to do in order to A, improve my health, and B, potentially drop body fat in the longer term. And the kind of common kickback to that is, again, what if you're in a larger body? And I just want to reiterate, for some people, carrying larger amounts of body fat and not regularly binging, not regularly overeating, is actually more healthful than losing weight if you are consistently falling into these negative health behaviours. So there is a bit of a trade-off, right? So at no point would I be working with a client and working on the relationship with food and consistently seeing scale weight go up and think, let's just keep going forevermore. That wouldn't happen, because physical health is really important, and when you're in a larger body, to some degree, body fat levels will impact your physical health. There's no denying that. But again, in order to lose them, you may well have to do this work on your relationship with food first, regardless. But there can be a point where it's like, right, there's a trade-off now. We have to be a little bit more mindful. And I'm going to talk about nutrition in a minute to try and not let this get to a point where your physical health is actually negatively impacted hugely by your body fat levels. But again, the answer isn't particularly different. Again, you cannot just go into a fat loss phase without doing this work first. Acceptance of that is so important. Again, think about, what can I change and what do I have to let go at this point? Working on your relationship with food does not mean not eating healthily. Now, I feel like it seems odd that I have to say that, but I do, because I think partly it's the fitness narrative of eating intuitively means eating all the cake, and if I ate whatever I wanted, I would just eat all the donuts. And that is a really unhelpful narrative. It's similar. It reminds me of when flexible dieting came out, and it was like, oh, I can just eat 10 Pop-Tarts within my macros. Probably couldn't get 10 into anyone's macros, but it's that same sort of thing of, well, I can just eat whatever I want. And you see people eating solely, I don't know, or solely sharing pancakes and donuts and things like that. But working on your relationship with food requires you to work on nutrition. And even if you look at the intuitive eating principles, One of those principles involves healthful nutrition. So we're not ignoring healthful choices. So when it comes to improving your relationship with food, there are certain nutrition guidelines that you should still be working on. The first being health-focused habits. So making sure you're exercising, making sure you have daily movement, consuming a diet that is rich in protein, fruits and vegetables and fibre, making sure you're drinking enough water, focusing predominantly your nutrition on main meals and not little snacks throughout the day. Educate yourself on healthful nutrition and start to recognise that healthy eating means healthy food, yes, but it also means having a healthy relationship with food. And when you're looking at healthy eating, now, what does healthy eating actually look like? Like I said, it involves the consumption of protein-rich foods, so 3 or 4 protein servings a day. A large intake of lots of plant-based foods, fruits, vegetables, seeds, nuts, pulses, grains, etc. Ensuring that you're consuming essential fat, because your body can't make essential fat, so you need to consume it from the diet. And eating relatively fewer processed foods. So you can't go into working on your relationship with food and then give yourself unconditional permission to eat all foods and then solely eat pizza and then complain that when you're improving your relationship with food, you're gaining weight. Like, it doesn't work like that. You still have to think, how does this food make me feel? How do I feel when I consistently eat that way? And reflect on that and think, okay, well, I felt that way when I ate that meal that was rich in fruits and vegetables and protein. So I would like to eat that way again, versus I felt a bit sluggish after that pizza. It didn't make me really feel that great. So I'm not really going to eat that again for a little while because it didn't make me feel good. You're not going to feel great if you're only eating cake for every meal. Make sure that you're eating mindfully, because this actually helps you with portion control, as well as the fact that it makes food more delicious and it helps with the digestion. You want to be eating enough, but not too much and not too little. Now, that's like saying how long's a piece of string. But if you eat mindfully, you take your time, you slow down, you are present, it is very unlikely that when you sit down to a balanced meal and eat mindfully, you are going to eat excessively past your energy requirements. That being said, if you are doing this journey and you are in a smaller body and you've been chronically restricting, your energy requirements might be higher than what you've been allowing, and therefore you will gain weight. But that's not a bad thing, especially if you're in a smaller body. So eat mindfully to support you with your portion sizes, and make sure that you are practicing food neutrality. There are no good foods, no bad foods. You're still not restricting foods, because it's the restricting that often leads to overeating. And also that you give yourself unconditional permission to eat. But again, thinking about what foods are nourishing for my body, what foods make me feel good. I don't mean in terms of comfort necessarily, although sometimes that's important. What makes you feel energetic? What makes you feel nourished? What makes you feel like you are respecting your body? These things are all super important. So again, if you're in a larger body, this still might result in weight gain. If you're in a smaller body, this still might result in weight gain. But also, this might result in weight loss. This might result in weight maintenance. So I think it's really easy to go from kind of a meal plan or structured restriction or tracking to think that this process involves none of that accountability and none of that choice or preference when it comes to health. But if anything, when you remove tracking and you remove a meal plan type of mentality, thinking about body food choice congruence, i.e. how foods make you feel, and enjoying them and focusing on respect for your body becomes more important, not less. Other things you can focus on are your body respect, and sometimes it can be hard to respect your body when you're coming into this process, but act as if you care for it. Act as if you respect it. So repeating things to yourself that are positive and helpful self-talk. My body deserves movement. My body deserves rest. My body deserves nourishment. My body deserves clothes that feel comfortable. My body does not deserve critical self-talk. My body deserves positive self-talk. My body deserves compassionate self-talk. Reduce your body checking. Reduce taking scale weight every single day. Pinching your body, check in the mirror every single time that you walk past it. None of that is helping you. Unfollow accounts, social media pages, newspaper articles that solely talk about dieting or solely post transformation pictures. Check in on your internalized weight bias, especially if you're in a smaller body. Why do you think weight gain is so bad? The internalized thin ideal is so prevalent, and it's this kind of notion that thinner is always better, that thinner means more successful, that thinner means happier, and we internalize this narrative, so we think, well, if I get leaner, then I'll be happier. If I get leaner, I'll be more successful. Wrong! That's not how it works. There is no happiness at the end of lean. It just doesn't exist. If you're in a larger body and you lose body fat for your health, then great. If you are in a smaller body and you have aesthetic goals, fine. That's totally fine and it's totally up to you. But happiness does not come at a certain scale weight. And if you think that you're going to be more successful or happier or more respected or more accepted when you are leaner, that is your internalized thin ideal showing. If you don't know what it is and you want to know more about it, then look it up. Google it. Look up internalized weight bias or the internalized thin ideal, and just look up weight stigma and keep checking with yourself. Why is leaner better? Why do I look at two bodies and think the leaner one is better? Why? You also want to work on your emotional regulation. So it's probably one of the things that if you're working with our coaches, you'll be doing anyway. Often we have a poor relationship with food because of emotional dysregulation. We're unable to accept, acknowledge and respond appropriately to our emotions. Journaling is the best thing you can do for this. Thinking about things like, what led to me eating that way? How did I feel after eating that way? What would I do differently next time? What was the situation? What were my emotions? What was I feeling? Get curious about these things. And remember that you only get to the next chapter of your journey, whatever that is, if you go through this one. You don't have a choice at this point, unless you want to keep repeating your diet and keep getting the same results and come back to doing this work in a year or 2 years. I know that it can be challenging, but the process is so rewarding when you get through it and as you go through it. I encourage you to enjoy the process of going through it, of healing your relationship with food, but be patient with it. And like I said, take away this idea that your body has to change when you heal your relationship with food. It'll change. Who knows what direction it's going to change in? But you are focusing right now on your health. So ask yourself, what is the most important thing to me right now? Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And as always, if you did, please do feel free to like, share, subscribe, and review. And if you would like to chat to me, then you can find details of my Instagram in the show notes.